Amen. Thank you, fellas. That's a blessing to the people at Hathaway Hills. And we think of Crystal with the Lord now. I believe she was at the first service, wasn't she, in Hathaway Hills? I believe she was at the very first service. They opened up and we were there. And she's been promoted to glory. So pray for her family. John chapter 3. John chapter 3.
That she had through Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I just pray that even after she's gone, that the life that she led would have an impact on her family's heart. Father, even though she's gone, that someone might come to know you as a result of her life and her faithfulness to you, Father. Amen. Father, as we gather around your word here tonight, I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray that our hearts are willing to accept what you have for us here tonight, Father, that we would be drawn closer to you. We would be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, as a result of meeting with you here tonight. I pray that you give the pastor the words to say that would be encouragement to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. John chapter 3, in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we're looking at biblical evangelism, and a challenge is trying to reach people that are religious but have never received Christ. So we look, number one this morning, the prospect. Jesus' prospect here was Nicodemus. In verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And our prospects are everyone that we see out there. We don't get an opportunity to speak to everyone, but we should have our gospel shoes on. Notice with me in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, if we put our gospel shoes on before we leave the house, we are going to be thinking about these prospects. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are what? The feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So we want beautiful feet. We got to get our gospel shoes on and look at people as prospects. Notice in Luke 10, Luke chapter 10 and verse 29. We're thinking about people that we should care about. So the question went out is, who is our neighbor? In Luke 10, starting in verse 29, we'll go through 37, but Luke 10:29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is what? My neighbor. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain what? Priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on what?
The other side.
And likewise a Levite. Now the Levites were those who were to help the priest. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and what? Passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had what? Compassion on him. And that's the biggest thing that we need to train our minds and with the Lord's help, is to have compassion on people. Verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed what? Mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. So, who is our prospects? Everyone. And that's why we need to pray, Lord, help us. Help us to have openings. And as we'll see here with Nicodemus, how do we reach people where they're at? So, as this morning we saw, Pharisees paid attention to all the little details, but not so much to the big things like judgment and the love of God. Another thing about Pharisees, notice with me in Philippians 3. Philippians 3 in verse 4, they took great pride in their ancestry. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Philippians 3, 4. And we'll read verse 5 as well. But verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I what? I'm more circumcised the 8th day of the stock of who? Israel. Of the tribe of who? Benjamin. So of the baby of the family. And Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, what? Pharisee. So, I mean, he was very proud of his religious heritage, his Jewish heritage. But we have to remember that it's a wonderful thing to have a godly heritage. But we need to remember is that no one can get saved for another person. I mean, I wish we could. You know, it'd be nice if we could get saved for uncles, aunts, cousins, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, but we can't. It's a personal decision everyone has to make for themselves. Notice in Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. Ezekiel 18:4. Oh, I wish we could make that decision for others, but we can't. They have to make it. Ezekiel 18:4. The Bible says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, what? It shall die. It's a personal decision that must be made. Notice on down further here in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Ezekiel 18, 20. The soul that sinneth, it what? Shall die. It repeats it. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. There was a time in our country, and I forget what the issue was, but somebody put it forth that if children did a certain something, that their parents would be put in jail. Well, that is not biblical. Verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So the biblical principle is, if the father sins, the father pays for it. If the child sins, the child pays for it, suffers the punishment, whatever the punishment might be. Notice in Psalm 49, Psalm chapter 49. Now this chapter deals with wealth, but the same principle applies, as we'll see here. We can't buy another person's soul into heaven. Psalm 49, verse 7. We'll read 7 and 8. Psalm 49, 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. So There's no means. And of course, we talk about redemption in the Old Testament. If someone, got a loan on their property or lost their property, and of course, remember with the Jews, a fellow Jew could not give a loan to another Jew for more than 7 years. And then they had to return it. And then we talk about the year of Jubilee, the 49th year, all land went back to the Jews. So even if an unbeliever had bought the property of a Jew because he lost it through, bad finances, whatever, it had to be returned. It was God's land, and that was his requirement. So, but when it comes to the soul, it makes it clear, you can redeem someone's land, someone's house, but you can't redeem their soul. Verse 8, the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. So it would be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be so nice if somehow we could get saved for other people, but we can't. False religion has tried that in the past. So the Catholic Church buying their indulgences, trying to pay people or pray people out of purgatory, which doesn't even exist, but thinking somehow, and the Mormons do the same thing, thinking somehow they can get their loved ones who have died somehow to heaven or to a higher heaven. Can't be done. So that was the beginning here of Nicodemus, the prospect. Now, number two. Now there's an opening to share the gospel. John 3 and verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, God is not so ordained that we have the gift of miracles today. That is, can do them regularly. Does God do miracles? Yes, he does. We have a gospel tract, The Miracle of the Water. Those of you who were on that team, we were there. While God was doing that miracle, we were there. If you weren't there, you can read about it. It's documented. It happened. And God does so many miracles. But today, no one has the gift of miracles. And you can't go to someone. If someone had the true gift of miracles, there'd be lines up like there were to Jesus. And Jesus healed everyone. Now, these so-called faith healers, if it was true, if people were really getting healed, there'd be long lines out the doors and around the block waiting for true healing. There would be documented proof of them. There was a faith healer that was up in Canada, and I read about him. And so this man wanted to see if it was real. So all of these people who were supposedly healed at the crusade, he went around and documented whether they were truly healed. Well, some died, and others, the same ailment was back. He could not document one, not even one legitimate person who had supposedly been healed in that crusade and was still enjoying the healing. Not one. So there is no gift of miracles today. God has ceased with that. So, but God can do miracles in our lives. God does still heal. God does still provide miraculous answers to prayer, financial needs, physical needs. There was a miracle happened last Sunday from San Francisco. A man received Jesus Christ as his Savior. There is no greater miracle than that. That's one that even the angels in heaven rejoice over. So, but something got his attention. It was these miracles, verse 2. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So, you know what? When God does something marvelous for us, we should praise the Lord. As we saw recently, we should declare it among the heathen. We shouldn't, when something wonderful happens, a great answer to prayer, we shouldn't say, oh, well, boy, I'm at work. I can't say praise the Lord because these people don't know anything about the Lord. Well, That's how they'll be introduced to him, is praise the Lord. I mean, they use the Lord's name in vain. Shouldn't we glorify the name of the Lord? I mean, how can the boss say, you can't say that here, when he allows God's name to be used in vain? He can't stop you from saying, praise God, praise the Lord. So we should share it as well. It should be an opportunity to share the Lord. So we see, first of all, here about Nicodemus, he was cautious. He came by night, in verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night. Now, why did he come by night? Why was he cautious? Sometimes people will be cautious with us. You know, it's kind of that the person, whether it's on the job or wherever, is to bring up God's name. And so people are kind of cautious a lot of times about bringing up God's name out in public because they don't know where you stand, or we don't know where they stand. So Nicodemus was kind of cautious about that. And Nicodemus was not alone in his fear. He was afraid of what his fellow Pharisees would say. That's why he was so cautious. Look in chapter 12, John chapter 12, in verse 42. John 12:42. I was in the hardware store, and the worker got talking about politics, and then swore. And so then I had to bring up God's name. And after that, he did what? He watched his mouth. He didn't swear anymore. So, you see, they can use their swear words, but and not everyone will do this. Some people just keep on swearing anyway. But this man held his tongue after that. But in John 12:42, the Bible says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of who? The Pharisees. And what was Nicodemus? A Pharisee. But because of the Pharisees, they did not what? Confess him, lest they should be what? Put out of the synagogue, even kick him out. For they loved the praise of who? Men, more than the praise of God. So, the same thing's true today. People are cautious. You know, there might be some people at work, there might be some people at the store, there might be some people in public that maybe would like to say something, but they're cautious. I think I told you about the guy this morning, didn't I, in the surgeon's office that broke his leg up at Cabaret. And so... he was kind of cautious until I started talking about the Lord. And then he brought out that his grandfather was a Baptist preacher over in Highland Park in Detroit, at a Baptist church. His grandfather preached for 40 years, 20 years at one church, 20 years at another. So it's getting people to open up, because otherwise many times they're fearful. Notice in Revelation 21. Oh, you can take the strongest man. I don't care how big his biceps are, his triceps, his thighs, his calf muscles. I don't care how big his muscles are. When it comes to the matter of faith in Christ, the biggest guy doesn't want to be mocked or laughed at among the other fellows. So Revelation 21:8, but the who? The fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with what?
Fire and
brimstone, which is the second death. The first group mentioned there are the what?
Fearful.
Can you imagine how many people will be in hell someday because they were afraid to confess Christ? I can't get saved because the guys at work will laugh at me. They'll mock me. That's something a man has such a hard time getting over. But sadly, just think of it. Just think of how many people that are in hell right now and will be in the future that are there because they were afraid to get saved. So we're talking about people that heard the gospel, understood they should be saved, understood how to be saved, but they were afraid to do it. afraid of what people would say. I'll say it. So, back here in John chapter 3, so Nicodemus came by night. He was cautious. And then number two, he came, he was curious. Number one, he was cautious. He came by night. Number two, he was curious. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He was curious. Lord, how can you do these miracles? We know you're from God. No man can do this. So he was curious. So that's the thing. We need God's help. How can we make people curious? Enough to ask questions, to think. People so easily just turn us off. I mean, we can go up to people and just start quoting scripture and I mean, it'll just click. How can we get them to think? This man was thinking. He was curious. You know, Jewish teachers seem to be big on history, but not on scripture. Let me give you an example here in Acts 5. Jewish leaders, when asked for counsel, they often gave you a history lesson instead of a scripture lesson. In Acts 5:34, and we'll go through verse 40. Verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, named what? Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For when? Before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. So he's saying, okay, you guys, you're wondering what to do about the apostles. Well, I tell you, remember Theudas? I remember he got a group of 400 following him, but you know what? They end up killing him, and all of his 400 were scattered. Verse 37. After this man rose up who? Judas of where? Galilee. And you know what? While he's giving his history lesson, God has this recorded because we're learning something here about Satan's tactic when Jesus was born. It says, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of what? The text. You know what Satan was doing? Satan knew that Mary was with child of the Holy Ghost. This was the Messiah being born. And you know what Satan tried to do? He tried to get ahead of the game. I'm going to fix it so they don't believe Jesus when he gets old enough to start teaching. I'm going to put a false prophet in Galilee and just make a show of him. So once again, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away what? Much people after him. He also what? Perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now, so when Jesus comes on the scene in Galilee, what are people thinking? He's starting to get a big following, especially the Jews who are so big on history instead of scripture. What are they thinking? They're thinking, you know what? We've seen this before. Last time it was who? Judas. This time it's who? Jesus. You know what? It's going to end the same way. It's nothing. Don't believe them. You know what the sad part is? The Bible says Jesus could not do many mighty works there because of their what? Their unbelief. Satan, the one that our enemy that we can't see, when he sets a trap, we can't see it. We need to rely so much on the Lord. But anyway, in Gamaliel's little history lesson, we learned something through the Holy Ghost that, you know what? Satan was trying to ruin it for Jesus. You know, sometimes we go out and in fact, yesterday, the first call, the man said something to us about Jehovah's Witnesses. And so many times it's like, you know, Satan will try to ruin our calls ahead of us by somebody like Jehovah's Witnesses going ahead of us. So we just need to be constant in prayer. So anyway, Gamaliel goes on, verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. So what is his grand counsel? You just have to wait and see. I mean, that's great counsel, isn't it? What do we do about these guys? Well, you're just going to have to wait and see. You know, if it's of God, you don't want to be fighting against it. If it's not of God, it'll all come to naught. So what is his counsel? I don't know. I don't know. The doctor of the law, I don't know. You're going to have to wait and see. So, look at what they do. Verse 40. And to him, they what?
Agreed.
So what is his counsel? Wait and see. Verse 38, once again, he said, now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them what? Alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. His counsel is, I don't know, let them alone and just wait and see. Verse 40, to him they agreed. But what did they do? And when they had called the apostles and what? They'd beaten them. Oh, yeah, Dr. Gamaliel, great advice. Yeah, we agree with you. Bring them in here and let's beat them. They didn't listen to them. They had beaten them and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And so that's what Nicodemus was part of, these guys, these Pharisees here. So let's go to then here at this point. Why didn't Dr. Gamaliel give him scripture instead of a history lesson? Why didn't he go to Acts 5, verse 30. Acts 5, 30. Just look at what these men had been saying. Why didn't Gamaliel pick up on what they had been teaching? Acts 5:30. It's Peter speaking from verse 29. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be what?
A prince
and what?
A savior.
Or to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Why didn't Gamaliel say, well, you know, those guys said that this guy is a prince and a savior. And you know, guys, remember what the scriptures say? Hold your place here, if you would. Turn to Isaiah 9, verse 6. Why didn't Dr. Gamaliel bring them to Isaiah 9, 6? Why didn't he say, guys, you're wondering about these apostles, but you know, what they're saying seems to match up with Scripture. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the who? Prince of Peace. Guys, you better listen. You better listen. What they're talking about, they're saying he's a prince. And you know, the scriptures foretold that a prince would rise up. And you know, guys, instead of Dr. Gamaliel giving them a history lesson about Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, which were the days when Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem to be taxed, he should have said, guys, what Peter just said there about a prince. And do you remember where Jesus was from? I know he's born in Bethlehem, but do you guys remember where he was raised? It was Galilee. Guys, go back to Isaiah 9:6 and, and back up a little bit to verse 1, Isaiah 9:1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in where? Galilee of the nations. Guys, you better take heed. Let's consider the scripture, guys. Peter was talking about Jesus as a prince. And you guys know he was raised in Galilee. And you know what? The scriptures in Isaiah 9 talk about the Messiah is going to be the Prince of Peace. The Messiah is going to bring light to Galilee. Look in verse 2, Isaiah 9:2. The people that walk in darkness have seen what? A great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath what? The light shine. Guys, you better take heed here. Peter's saying that God raised up Jesus. He's the prince. He came from Galilee. He was a shining light to those people there. You better take heed, guys. This seems to be matching up with Scripture. Notice in Isaiah 43, Peter also called him a Savior. In Isaiah 43, in verse 10, Isaiah 43:10, the Bible says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." Guys, these apostles are claiming to be witness of Jesus, what? Of His resurrection. They're claiming to be witnesses of this. And God said, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen." Don't you guys remember that Jesus went about doing good? He was a servant. "That you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am who? The Lord." And that Hebrew word would be Jehovah. "And beside me there is what? No Savior." Guys, you better take heed. This man, his life seems to match up with the Scripture. He's a prince. He come from Galilee, showed the light there. He was a servant of servants, of people. They called him Lord. He's the Savior. And on the passage goes, why didn't Gamaliel do that? And then Gamaliel should have gone back to Isaiah 9:6 and said, you know, guys, do you remember what the centurion said when Jesus died? And there was that earthquake. Do you remember what the centurion said? Truly, this was, the Son of God. Guys, look at Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And then what? The Mighty God. And then what? The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Guys, we better take heed to this. This man's life seems to follow the Scripture. And remember, guys, when the soldiers came and claimed that someone stole his body at night. But remember what happened that first day, that first morning? Remember what happened when Jesus died, when he cried out, the earth shook? Remember that morning that his body was missing? What happened again? An earthquake, the ground shook. That's what Dr. Gamaliel should have been pointing out, but he didn't. And so, may God help us. We didn't get near through here tonight, but Nicodemus, he was the prospect. He was curious. And remember what, in closing, let's go to Matthew 5. Remember, we're to be light, but what else are we to be? Two things. Salt. In Matthew chapter 5, And if we back up from the light to verse 13, Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, ye are what? The salt of the earth. What does salt make us? Thirsty. Thirsty. Is anyone having pizza tonight? No hands. Okay. Well, if you had pizza tonight in the morning, you might be a little more thirsty, because pizza, the things we put on it, oftentimes might have a good deal of salt. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. God wants us to make people thirsty, not to torment them, but make them thirsty for who? The Lord, the living water. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth what? Good for nothing. So we as Christians, if we lose our savor, if we lose our salt, our saltiness, if salt loses its salt, its saltiness, as it said there, it's thenceforth good for nothing, but be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. So in other words, if the salt loses its saltiness, no one's going to use it. I mean, if it doesn't, if you can't taste the salt, why sprinkle white granules on something if it doesn't make any difference? And so, many times people have said to me, well, I'm a Christian, but my faith is private. Well, that is not what God wants. God wants us to be salt and light. God wants to use our lives to make people thirst for Him. He wants us to be salt and light. So I'm sorry, but being a Christian is not a private thing. Not if we want to help people. It needs to be public. And of course, we can dump too much on. Notice we'll be in Colossians 4:6. I apologize if I said that was the last verse. I may have said that. But let's do end with this verse. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with what? Grace. Seasoned with what? Salt. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. So, let your speech be always with grace. And that's where the frequent, God bless you. The Lord bless you. There's the grace. Getting some salt in there. You know, I've never eaten anywhere and someone put a pile of salt. You know, take the salt shaker, the cover off, dump it on their plate, and put one pea on the top of it. I've never seen anyone do that. But I've seen lots of people take peas or corn and sprinkle salt on them. So, our witness. I know it's easy for us to burn people. I mean, make them mad. But the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, to those like Nicodemus that are religious, good people, how do we win them? Just be, display grace and display light and sprinkle the salt. Make them thirsty. You know, when someone's eating pizza, normally you don't see the salt, do you? No. But you eat enough of it, you're going to get thirsty. And so may God help us in our lives to be salt, to be light, and to gradually make them thirsty. Thirst for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and His example and His great sacrifice for us. Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. We want to win. We want to see people saved. Those who, like Nicodemus, they could be spiritual leaders in a church, but never born again. They could be filled with good works. They could be well acquainted with the Bible, but never trusted you alone for their salvation. Lord, we want to see those kind of people saved. We want to see everyone saved, Lord, whether they are good citizens or bad citizens, whether they're good neighbors or bad neighbors, whether they're good workers or vile, filthy workers. Lord, we want them to be saved. Please teach us how to be like Jesus, to be salt and light. We pray in Jesus' name.